From Spark and Anvil and Level Forge, this is Carve and Chapter 1 of the Level Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. Carve set her grid paper flat on the workshop floor and drew a single room, four walls, one door, nothing else. Then she stood in the doorway of the real room, the one she'd built out of foam blocks and lamplight, and she waited. A boy walked in behind her. His eyes went straight to the far corner, where a tall lamp threw a warm cone of light up a plywood tower. "There," Carve said, tapping her pad without even turning around. "You looked at the tower first." "How'd you know?" "Because I put it there for your eyes to find." She was a small beaver in a chunky paper vest, warm cream fur, cocoa brown paw tips, and she moved through the space like she'd already lived in it 100 times. "Your eye goes to the brightest thing, the tallest thing, the thing that's different from everything around it. I built that tower to be all three." She walked to the corner and rested a paw on it. "So now, without me saying one word, you already know where you're headed." The boy turned a slow circle. There was a dark nook off to the left he hadn't noticed at all. "That's on purpose too," Carve said, following his gaze late. "The reward's tucked over there, out of the bright cone. If you find it, it's because you chose to look around. The room didn't hand it to you." She smiled. "Every wall here is quietly saying something. Come here. Not that way. Look up. The room is talking to you. My whole job is to make sure it says the right things." She uncapped her sightline marker and traced a line across her grid paper, door to tower. "Where does the eye go first?" she said, mostly to herself. "The level tells the player where to look."
Carve grew up along a slow river where her family built dams. She used to think the dams were just walls. Then one evening, she watched her grandfather redo a whole passage, moving one branch, opening one gap. And the very next morning, the young beavers who'd been getting stuck and turning back were swimming straight through without a moment's confusion. Nobody had told them the new way. The water just carried them, and the shape of the channel showed them where it went. "They found it," she said, amazed. "You didn't teach them anything." "I taught them everything," her grandfather said. "I just didn't use my mouth." She'd felt something click in her chest then, a warm, private thrill she didn't have words for yet. It was the feeling of realizing that a space could be kind, that a well-shaped room could take the fear out of being somewhere new. She had spent her whole small life feeling lost in places built by people who never thought about where her eyes would go. And here was the opposite, a place that had been built for the person walking through it. She wanted to make people feel that. Not clever, not tested, just quietly, wordlessly guided, like the space itself was on their side.
She walked to Level Forge when she was 12, grid paper under one arm. Pixel, the mentor, met her at the gate and asked her one thing. "What makes a good level?" Carve didn't answer with a speech. She knelt, unrolled her pad, and drew a room, a door in the bottom left, a tall, bright landmark in the top right corner, beside a little marked goal. "A player comes in here," she said, pressing her marker at the door. She dragged it across the paper in one smooth line, straight to the landmark. "And their eyes go here. I didn't tell them to. The room did." She looked up. "A bad level makes people feel stupid. A good one makes them feel like they already knew the way." Pixel studied the line on the paper for a long moment. "You belong here," she said.
A girl came into the workshop one afternoon, arms crossed, mad at herself. "I quit my own game," she said. "I built a level and I kept getting lost in it. My own level." Carve pulled the grid paper close. "Draw me the room." The girl drew a tangle, corridors folding back on corridors, doors everywhere, nothing tall, nothing bright, no place that looked different from any other place. "Where's your landmark?" "My what?" "Something tall. Something the player can always find and steer by. Take it away and people don't just get lost." Carve tapped the tangle gently. they blame themselves. Watch. She drew a single glowing tower in the middle of the maze. Now stand anywhere in here. Can you find the tower? The girl traced with her finger. Yeah. So now you're never truly lost. You always know which way is back toward the tower. Carve drew a thick wall across the shortest path. I can still make it hard. I can block the easy way so you have to go around. But the tower keeps pulling your eye, so the hard stays fun instead of turning into scary. She added a small circle behind a rock, off to the side. And here, a reward, hidden just off the bright path, for the player who slows down and looks. The girl was quiet. Then, so it wasn't that I'm bad at games. You're not bad at games, Carve said, and she said it like it mattered. You were standing in a room that forgot to talk to you. That's the architect's job, not the player's. Getting lost is a message about the walls. It is never a message about you.
When the workshop had emptied out, the girl lingered by the door with her fixed map rolled up tight in both hands. Can I ask something dumb? There aren't dumb questions in here. When I build it right, how will I know it's working? Nobody's going to walk through and say, good architecture. Carve thought about the river, about the young beavers finding the gap her grandfather had opened and swimming through like they'd always known. You'll know because of what people don't do, she said. They won't stop and squint. They won't backtrack frustrated. They won't apologize for being confused. They'll just move, easy, like the way was theirs the whole time. She looked at the girl's rolled up map. And you'll feel this quiet little warmth right here, she touched her own chest, because you'll know you took care of them and they never even had to notice you did. The girl smiled and tucked her map away. Carve stood in the empty room after she left, in the soft lamplight, and let that warmth sit in her chest a while, the good, full, unhurried feeling of a space that had done its quiet job and asked for no thanks at all.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Carve. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.